Good evening and welcome to our Bible study this evening. We want to turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. And we're going to look at one of the wisest women in all of the Bible this evening, a woman called Abigail. Now, her name means whose father is joy. And no doubt, this beautiful woman who was beautiful on the outside as well as on the inside brought great joy to her family when she was born. And she was given this beautiful name to reflect that. Now let's just read 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 2 all the way to verse 35. It's a section that deals with an incident in the life of King David when he first ran into this wise woman, Abigail. And it says, "There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. And the name of the man was Nabal, or Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. David sent unto 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Go you, get you up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither were there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favour in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatever gift cometh to thine hand unto thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And they went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us. We were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. She said unto her servants, Go on before me, behold, I will come after you. But she told not her husband, Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill. Behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. David had said, Surely in vain have I kept all this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertained to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off her ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground. And she fell at his feet, and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, to seek thy soul, but the soul of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out, as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offence of heart unto my lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my lord hath avenged himself, but when the Lord shall have dealt well with my lord, then remember thine handmaid. David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. Amen. God will bless that reading of his own infallible and inspired word. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this story of this wise woman, Abigail. Help us to learn the lessons from her life, a life that we may know very little about, but a life that made a great impact on this man, David. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, Abigail was a woman who was in a very toxic marriage. We hear that expression today, toxic relationships. Well, she certainly had a very toxic relationship because she was in a toxic marriage with this man, Nabal. Nabal was a fool. The Bible calls him a churlish man and evil in his doings in verse 3. His name actually, Nabal or Nabal, means fool. And he certainly lived up to that name. We assume maybe it was a nickname that people gave him. Maybe he took it upon himself. He was such a fool that he reveled in such a nickname. And that became his name. However he got it, he certainly lived up to it. And the Bible calls him a churlish. He's a bitter, twisted, evil man in his doings. And sad to say, he came from a very godly lineage. He came from the house of Caleb. Yet coming from a godly family doesn't guarantee that you will be godly. Spirituality is not passed in the DNA. Nabal doesn't lack money. He's a wealthy man. It's very clear from, we're told his possessions in verse 2 were very great. But he lacks class. He lacks character. And he's going to show that in this incident, in his reaction to David. Now, David sent a group of men who were allowed to go and seek a gift from Nabal. They had been a blessing to Nabal for many, many months, and now at the harvest time when the sheep are sheared, the custom was that those who had helped others would receive a gift. And David, according to the custom of those times, didn't send 600 men. He could have sent 600 men to demand a gift, but he sent 10 to say to Nabal, we have helped you. We have been a blessing to you for many, many months. Now as the custom is, please give us a gift. Now, David's request in verse 6 was reasonable, it was humble, and it was courteous. He doesn't say anything evil to Nabal. He refers to him as thy son David. He's humble. He's courteous. But he's asking for his rightful wages, in a sense, for what he and his men have done for this man, Nabal. He's not asking for a huge amount, although Nabal has a very great amount of possessions and wealth. He's just asking for a token. In Singapore, we often talk about these tokens of gifts. The Chinese New Year season, give someone a red packet, Hong Bao, who's been good to you. And David's really saying to Nabal, give my men a Hong Bao for everything they have done for you. But in verse 10, Nabal responds, and his name is a fool, and he was a fool. And his response shows that in abundance. Because instead of replying in a courteous way, because David is a powerful man, David himself is a man to be feared. He's the boy who became a man who slew Goliath. He's the boy who became a man who led all the armies of Israel against the Philistines. He's no fool. And on top of all this, he has 600 armed men. Some of these men, like Joab, were ruthless, bloodthirsty, tough men. Men who would take a sword and plunge it into you without a second thought. And Nabal here, in his response to David, shows utter foolishness. Even from a natural perspective, leaving aside the spiritual dimension, from a natural perspective, he acted like a fool. And then he sought to provoke David with the worst language he could think of, the most provocative language. He says this in verse 10, who is David? Now, he knew who David was. Everybody in Israel knew who David was. David was the national hero. David was the great warrior. And yet this guy just says, who's this guy David? Nothing to me. He's nothing, is really what Nabal is saying. And then he goes on to say, who is the son of Jesse? Now, why does he use that expression? David was the son-in-law of the king through marriage. But he chooses David's natural lineage through Jesse to emphasize he's a nobody. He's from Bethlehem. He's the son of a shepherd. He's someone that I despise. And then he goes on to say, there be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. There's a little slur there that David's a rebel, that he's on the run from Saul. Saul's his master, and David has become a fugitive. He's a nobody. He's a lowlife. It's really what Nabal is saying. And then verse 11 reveals the pride of this man and the greed of this man. Because as you read verse 11, you'll notice that it's full of pronouns about me, 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 self-centered. He says, shall I take my bread, my water, my flesh I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not? It's all about Nabal. No mention of God, no mention of helping others, no mention of gratitude, even to God or to others. This man is just consumed with his possessions. That's why he's a fool. Rightly named Nabal the fool. Now, this man sends David's servants away. And they report to David. And really for the very first time in the life of David that we read in Scripture, David reacts in a very terrible way. Now, David was a man of great passions, great emotion. And one of the problems in having great emotion and great passion and great energy is that sometimes, if it's not under the control of the Holy Spirit, those emotions can run wild. They get you into trouble. And here, David's emotions are unleashed. And without praying, without thinking about God, without thinking about his testimony, David immediately orders 400 of his warriors, get kitted out. We're going to war. And we're going to the house of Nabal. And we're going to murder him. And not only murder him, but David makes it clear here, he's going to murder the whole family. He's going to commit genocide, massacre everybody out of his hurt pride and his anger over this situation. But God is watching, and God has a plan for David and a destiny for David. And God doesn't want David to destroy that and undermine that. And in grace, God intervenes. Because we're told in verse 14, but one of the young men. You think that's a coincidence that that young man was there? Do you think it was a coincidence that that young man heard the conversation? Do you think it's a coincidence that that young man went to Abigail and not to Nabal? No, God had a man at the right place, at the right time, working in the shadows. And this man goes to Abigail, the wise woman, the godly woman, the humble woman, the resourceful woman. And he says to her, let me tell you what's happening. Our lives are under a serious threat. We're about to be all wiped out because of the insults of Nabal and what he has done to this man David. In fact, he ends with his conversation by saying he's such a son of Belial in verse 17 that a man cannot speak to him. He says, you know what he's like, Abigail. You've lived with him. You're married to him. You're married to this terrible man. And you know the way he can talk, especially when there's drink in it, his pride and his arrogance. Now, we don't know why Abigail married this man, Nabal. She was the polar opposite of him. Maybe it was arranged marriage, which was a custom in those days. Maybe her parents were poor and they felt that Nabal, being a very wealthy man and coming from a very good home, Caleb's home, would be a great match for their daughter. We just don't know how she ended up marrying him. But she's married to him. And she now hears the story that David's on his way to wipe Nabal out and no doubt wipe everybody else out. Now, this is a providential opportunity for Abigail to rid herself of this terrible husband. She could have got on her camel, took some money and ran the other way and left Nabal to face the grim reaper and the judgment. She could have seen this as a quick and easy way to divorce this man. But Abigail had made vows before God to marry this wicked man. And she's going to stay with him for better or for worse, just as she had vowed. She's going to serve him for better or for worse, just as she had vowed. And she decides very quickly that she needs to respond. And the fact that she made haste in verse 18 to do this shows that she's a resourceful woman. She has initiative. She's a woman who understands men and understands situations and understands dangerous people and dangerous situations. And she understands that there's a way to handle this that might save their lives, and she's determined to find it. And I'm sure, no doubt, as you read through the rest of the story and see the godly character and the godly words of this woman, she no doubt prayed for wisdom, sought God's help. And I think we'll see in a moment there's a little hint that she understood the scriptures because of the way she presented this gift to David. We're told she took this huge gift, 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep, 5 measures of parched corn, which were a delicacy, 100 clusters of grapes, raisins, 200 cakes of figs, laid them on asses. So she prepared a bountiful gift to pacify this man. Probably a gift that would have been greater than what David could have expected in the first instance, if Nabal had simply given him a hongbao. So she's wise. She's resourceful. She's a quick thinker. And we're told she sent these gifts, verse 19, ahead of herself to David and his men coming to murder them. Now, where do you think she got that idea from? I think she picked up that idea from scripture. If you remember in the incident in the book of Genesis between Jacob and Esau, when Esau was coming to meet Jacob with armed men, as Jacob returned from Haran, that Jacob sent a large gift ahead in Genesis 32 and Genesis 33, and he let the gifts arrive before he arrived. And I think this woman, Abigail, knowing the scripture, being a godly woman, and seeing how God used that in the life of Jacob to pacify the carnal, angry heart of Esau and those who followed him, that she thought, well, if God did that then, maybe he'll do it here. She sent it on ahead. And then she came herself to meet David. And David, of course, is full of anger. But verse 23, when she meets David, notice what it says in verse 23. She fell off her animal. She got off the animal, the ass, and bowed herself to the ground. And then it says this. She began to plead with David. And she says, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. So she says to David, and you just picture this, this beautiful, humble, godly woman coming alone. And she just falls before David, helpless. And she says, let the sin of Nabal, let it be directed at me. And the judgment be upon me. And she knew that seeing her rather than Nabal would pacify David, would speak to David. But that's not enough. She then uses humble language. She calls David my Lord. In fact, six times she calls herself his maidservant. And at least 14 times she calls David my Lord. Now, she's a powerful, wealthy woman in her own right. And yet, she chooses to try to pacify the anger of David and the pride of David by appealing to humility. And you know, let me say this in passing. Submission and humility often pacify great anger in others. It's a good way, a good attitude to have in your life. And she shows great wisdom in not just her posture, but now in her words, because she begins to reason with David. And she says to David, verse 25, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. She says to David, you know, Nabal is his who he is. We have a saying in Ireland, you don't expect anything from a pig but a grunt. And really, that's true with Nabal. He's a son of the devil. And he's going to act like his father, the devil. And she's saying to David, you've just received from him everything about who he is. Don't get worked up about the Nabals of this world. They are who they are. And then she uses the name of the Lord, Jehovah, verse 26. Now therefore, my Lord, as Jehovah liveth. She invokes the covenant name of God, and she's going to bring that up over and over again. And she reminds David that Jehovah is watching. He's alive. He's seeing what you're doing, David. He's seeing our conversation now, David. Don't forget that. Well, that's a wise woman in her attitude, in her posture, and now in her words, because she's bringing God into the conversation and knowing that David is a godly man. And the Spirit of God is in him. She appeals directly to that advantage. Of course, she couldn't do that with Nabal, because the Spirit of God wasn't in such a wretch like him. But she knew with David that if she could get through to his heart and his spiritual heart, this man would be moved. This man would change. And she reminds David that the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging us. She says to David, God has in this place. And you know, David, you haven't killed anybody yet, because God has allowed this meeting between you and I as a providential opportunity, a moment for you to sit back and think more carefully about what you're planning to do. And she says, God has stopped you from doing this. And she says in verse 28, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. She says to David, put your anger on me. And please forgive me on behalf of my husband for what he's done to you. And then she reminds this man, David, in verse 28, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. She speaks to David's heart And she says to his conscience, David, God has been using you. God has blessed you. God is going to continue to bless you. And one day God's going to make you the king. It's absolutely certain. And she says, God has protected you and evil have not. You've responded right, David. Saul has provoked you, yes. Others have provoked you like Nabal, yes. But David, up to this point, you've handled it well. You've handled the attacks the right way. And don't lose that record, David, is really what she's saying. Don't blemish your reputation. She says in verse 29, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of his life. Do you see the wisdom in her words there? She says to David, you've been on the run now for years from Saul, and he hasn't been able to touch you because God protected you. God was with you. And the same God who has been with you all these years, he's still with you. He still will take care of you. You don't need to take vengeance on Nabal. You don't need to lose your testimony over this no good, useless son of the devil, Nabal. God will take care of him. He took care of Saul. He took care of all the rest. He took care of Goliath. And she says, the Lord will throw out your souls of your enemies. And she uses the metaphor of a sling throwing away the stone. No doubt she's trying to get through to David about the incident with Goliath, how God enabled him to overcome the great enemy of Israel, the great giant Goliath. And she says in verse 30, and it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning me, and shall have appointed thee ruler over it. She says, David, you're going to be king. You're not just anybody. God has called you to a great destiny, a great position. You are my superior, and you are going to be God's man in this nation. And she says, God's going to do it. And then she reminds David, verse 31, and this is a great statement. She said, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine hand. She says to David, listen, you're going to be the king. And you don't want to be the king of Israel with this incident of committing mass murder on your conscience. You do not want your reputation tarnished. You are going to be the judge of the nation, not just the king. People are going to look to you for an example. You're going to have to deal with people like Nabal and the goings on of Nabal's in the nation. And you need to have clean hands and a pure heart, David, when you deal with them. You can't have others pointing out to your past and saying, but look, David, what you did when you were angry. Look how you lost control. Look how you massacred others. Now bear in mind that what Nabal had done here to David was an insult, was an offense, but it wasn't a capital offense. The Bible gives no right to David to murder Nabal for what he had said here. Nabal had been offensive, but he hadn't committed a capital offense. Sure. And David needed to be reminded of that. Because one day, David, God is entrusting the justice of the nation into your hands, and you need to have a clean conscience. You need to have a good track record that people will trust in you and in your integrity, David. And all of these words that she puts together so well, so crafted them in such a spiritual and such a clever and wise way, it got through to David, just as she hoped and prayed. Because in verse 32, David responds. And I love his response. Because he looks at her and he says, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to me. He said, blessed be the Lord, you're God's messenger. You have been sent by him. I can see it clearly. Now, it's hard for a man like David to admit he's wrong, particularly in front of 400 hot-blooded warriors with him who are on their way to commit murder. It's hard for David to swallow his pride and admit he spoke too quickly and acted too rashly. It's particularly hard for a man like David, a leader of men, a warrior, to admit this weakness and this failure in front of a woman. You can imagine that many men like Joab would have been watching and sniggering and even saying to themselves, oh, what a weak guy David is. What a sucker for a pretty face. And what kind of a leader is he that the likes of Nabal can insult him? He just does nothing. David knows this will cost him. But he knows something even more important than the opinion of men. He knows what God thinks and God's opinion because of Abigail. And he's been reminded by her. And now, because he's a man after God's own heart, he responds to her. And without apology, in the sense of covering up for what he has done, without excusing himself, he just simply says to her, blessed be God who sent you. And then verse 33, blessed be thy advice. I can't imagine David took advice from many women, but he said, blessed be that counsel which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. He says, God has used you to stop me making this catastrophic failure. God has used you to rebuke me, convict me, and to change me. Oh, David responded the right way, and he blessed her, and he says, God bless you, my sister. God be with you. And he explains in verse 34 that he was absolutely going to massacre them all. He admits it. He confesses it. Doesn't try to bluff and say, well, actually, we're just going to have some strong words with Nabal. I wasn't going to murder him and his household. Oh, David admits it. He fully confesses it. And the tender, loving spirit of Abigail gets through to her. And David received off her hand the gift. And he says in verse 35, go in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and I have accepted thy person. Oh, David was a changed man. And he was changed by the wisdom and the godliness and the humility of this wonderful woman, Abigail. Saul certainly wouldn't have been. But David was. Because he was a different type of man. He was a man after God's own heart. What does Abigail do? And I like this. Sometimes we miss this. When David spoke to her and said, go in peace, she just goes back to her home again in peace. And that's not easy for her to do. Because in going back to that house, she's going back to the home of the most worthless husband, an individual who has made her life miserable. Someone called the story of Abigail and Nabal the Beauty and the Beast, the first original Beauty and the Beast story. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. And yet this woman, she doesn't say to David, well, can you get a divorce for me? Or can you just take Nabal out and leave the rest of us? No, she just goes back. She has sworn this oath to be with Nabal for better or for worse. And she's told David, leave the future in God's hands. Leave judgment and vengeance in God's hands when you're personally insulted. And she's going to live the same way herself. It's not going to be easy for her to go into this miserable home to be with this miserable husband. We're told in verse 36 that there came a day that she had to tell him. She couldn't tell him at the start because of his anger and his foolishness. But now there comes a moment that she is going to talk to him. She waits till the drink's finished and he's sobering up in the morning and the wine has gone out of him. And she tells him that he almost died when David came to massacre him. And we're told that his heart died within him. He seemed to have some type of a heart attack, this man. Look at the grace of God, verse 38. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. God gave him 10 days to repent. 10 days to lie on his sick bed with his heart racing, to give him an opportunity to acknowledge his sin and get right with God, but he doesn't. But then in verse 39, we're told David heard that Nabal was dead. And the news spoke to him once again and spoke to him the right way. He didn't say, well, good, that teach old Nabal a lesson, that old evil rascal. Glad he died in agony. No, David's reaction is, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and hath kept his servant from evil, for the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. David says this, now I can see, Abigail was right, I was wrong. I should have just left it in God's hand. In fact, if I just laid it another few days, God would have taken care of Nabal his way. I didn't need to take vengeance. I didn't need to lose my testimony. I didn't need to blow up the way I did. I could have left it in God's hands and God will vindicate me. You know, that must have also encouraged David as he thought of Saul, because Saul was trying to kill him at this time. And many, many occasions Saul had tried to take away David's life. And David was simply learning every day to simply hand the matter into God's hands, trust God's sovereignty, to deal with Saul in his time and in his way. And the example of how God dealt with Nabal must have spoken to David, just leave Saul to me. I'll handle Saul in my way and in my time. David now sees something very precious in Abigail. Because at the end of verse 40, it says David asked her to be his wife. He sent servants. And how she responds to that, again, speaks volumes about her character, because she waited until the time of mourning was over for this man, Nabal. She followed the custom of that time. And then she arose and went with five damsels to David and became David's wife. Now, one great blessing is going to happen now for David. He's going to have this woman, Abigail, as a counselor, as a guide, as a sounding board for him. He's going to have her wisdom to lead and guide him in his decisions. And he's going to have her example in handling very difficult people in the future, particularly Saul and others like Saul. He's also going to have her wealth that she will bring to the marriage. No doubt that will enable David to take care of his men better and will enhance David's reputation before the nation of Israel. And you notice her humility when she's asked to marry David. Verse 41, she says, behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. You know, this woman didn't pretend to be humble. She was a humble woman. And she was humble at the beginning, she was humble at the end, she was submissive at the beginning of the story, and she's still submissive at the end of the story. Because by the death of Nabal, left her a rich widow. But she submitted to this request in a humble way. Let me wrap this up by simply saying this. What lessons, simple lessons, can you and I learn from the life of this woman, Abigail? The first thing to learn about her is this. She was loyal in very difficult circumstances. She was loyal to this man, Nabal, even though he was the most disloyal individual, the most self-centered individual, an individual that treated everybody in a churlish, a bitter, harsh way. He was a tyrant. No doubt the drink played a great part in his temper. He may even have beaten her in his anger, and others around him. He was a worthless son of the devil. And yet she was loyal to him, and stuck with him, and sought to protect him from his own foolishness and his own folly. But then the second thing to learn about her, she was a resourceful woman. She didn't just sit back and say, well, whatever will be, will be. Whenever she saw an opportunity, she seized the opportunity. She used her initiative. She wasn't passive. She was always looking to protect her family, protect her husband's reputation, protect David's reputation. She took steps actively, resourcefully, to do all of these things. But then the third thing to learn about her, she's a very humble and respectful woman. She was humble to David. She was even humble to her servants in answering their requests for help. She was humble in her attitude to her husband, even though he was a son of the devil. How she did her best to help him and show respect to him. But then notice as well, and this is really the key to her life, she was a godly woman. Don't miss that. She knew the scriptures. She knew God. She knew the character of God. She knew the working of God in her circumstances and in her life and in David's life and in Nabal's life. And she was able to guide David from the character of God and the workings of God and argue with him and guide him and direct his attention and direct his thoughts to better ways, higher ways. She was a godly influence on David. But then another lesson to learn about her, and this is really a final lesson. She was a blessed woman by God. As you read this story, you can't help noticing how God uses her, how God honors her, how God blesses her words and her example. And I like what David says. I can't say it any better than what David's tribute to her. He said in verse 32, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has sent thee." Oh, he says, you're God's messenger. You can't get a higher tribute than that. And then she says in verse 33, "Blessed be thy advice and blessed be thou," David says. This is not anybody speaking here. This is the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is a man who knew God. This is a man who was a man after God's own heart. And when he saw Abigail and heard her and witnessed her example and witnessed her pleadings with him and her humility towards him, David was so touched that he says, you're one of God's choicest servants. You are a blessed woman. And he was so impressed with her and her character that when her husband died and legally she could become his wife, he thought to himself, what a woman she would be to have at my right hand. And he cried, he called unto her to come and marry him. And we discover later on in the story that she not only marries him, but she gives birth to a son called Chileab. Sometimes he's referred to as Daniel. God is my judge. Beautiful name. No doubt she thought of how God vindicated her and her stand that day when she first met King David. If you've enjoyed the story of Abigail, if you have learned from the story of Abigail, then seek to emulate her example. And pray that God would make you an Abigail. God would make you a wise spouse, a godly spouse, a humble spouse, a respectful person, and a loyal person. May God help you to do so. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the story of Abigail, what a woman she was, what a work she did, and what a God she served. And even though David is really seen in the most part of this story in very dark light, she shines like a diamond in the darkness. Lord, help us to have her attitude, her loyalty, her faithfulness, her spirit, her humility, her godliness in all of our lives. Because if we do, we'll have her blessing, the blessing of God. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.